Join us in Omaha, Nebraska on Saturday, October 8th, 2022, as I'm proud to present Historic Haunted Heartland, a night of incredible true stories of paranormal phenomena, with not one, not two, but three paranormal experts alive on stage at the newly renovated and beautiful Benson Theater in the heart of Omaha. The fun starts with Omaha historian and paranormal investigator Jamie Nestrel as she reveals the true details on the dark history of Omaha. Next, Johnny Hauser, the longtime caretaker and nation's leading expert on the Villisca Axe Murder House. We're going to explore the crimes committed there with him and the history of its haunting. And finally, making his debut in Omaha, John E. L. Tenney will deliver one of his signature weird lectures. Tickets are available this summer, and I invite you to visit Necronomicast.com and follow the show on Facebook for more information. Historic Haunted Heartland, brought to you by Necronomicast, Saturday, October 8th, 2022, a night that could change your life or afterlife. From the Haunted Heartland in Omaha, Nebraska, my name is Brian Corey, and it is my pleasure to welcome you all, young and old, to this episode of the Necronomicast. Tonight's guest for a late night conversation is legendary psychic medium Chip Coffey. You all know Chip from his longtime work on television programs like Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now Kindred Spirits. Chip is an internationally acclaimed psychic medium, a paranormal investigator, a lecturer, and a writer. He is going to help me understand what it's like to have these gifts of psychical perception in a straightforward, no-nonsense way. So call the neighbors, wake the kids. A conversation with Chip Coffey is next here on the Necronomicast. And now calling in on the Newsmaker Hotline from Atlanta. Hotlanta. Psychic medium, friend of the program, the great Chip Coffey. Chip, thank you so much for appearing on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be here.
This is really exciting. Season 6 of Kindred Spirits, and of course, people know your work from Paranormal State and Psychic Kids and your many appearances all over the internet on different shows, and to have you on my show, it's just an honor and a treat.
Season 6, December 18th, 10 p.m. Eastern.
On Discovery Plus.
And Travel Channel.
Yes, yes. We can't forget that, so everybody can watch it. Everybody that's got the subscription or access to the Travel Channel can enjoy that show. Chip, you know, I was watching all these episodes, all these shows that you've been on for a lot of years, and I'm always struck by how much passion that you have on these projects and how hard that you work and how you share your talents, not only to kind of push this kind of psychic work forward, you know, kind of push the envelope, but also how compassionate you are to people too.
Well, thank you for that. I know that my words can either help or hurt, can heal or harm. And so I try to be sensitive to how I deliver information, but I have to deliver the information no matter how I get it across. Some people can accept it. Some people aren't quite ready to hear it. So it's challenging. It's challenging work sometimes, but my goal is always to leave people better than when I first met them. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when it's so challenging, especially in this time of COVID, I know in season 5 that you had to work remotely on a lot of these investigations and a lot of these cases that Adam and Amy were going on. What were some of the challenges of like stretching yourself maybe as a psychic, as a medium, as a clairvoyant to not be in that location, but yet help with this investigation, help with these cases?
Actually, season 6 is pretty much the same. I did most of the appearances remotely for season 6 as well. I do have one on location appearance. So it's different when you're not there. Mm-hmm. It's very different. I realized that if I wanted to keep my job and stay a part of the show during COVID, that I was going to have to really take a deep dive and try my best to connect in remote view and tap in better from a distance. Mm-hmm. And I watched season 5 and it seemed to work. And season 6 was pretty much the same. I was able to accomplish that. I'm the first to admit, I don't know how I do what I do. have no clue about it. I just kind of flip the switch, so to speak, and whatever comes into my head, I just relay that information.
What's interesting to me is that, like, Adam and Amy would phone in or FaceTime or communicate with you from their location to your home studio that the Travel Channel prepared for you so you can do this kind of work. And I was wondering if it's like better when you're maybe perhaps when you're not in the location, like with no physical distractions, like the smells of the place or the dangerousness of sometimes the abandoned building. Like if you're just able to be comfortable in your own space and communicate with your friends and then kind of focus that way. Maybe it was a little easier in some ways that way.
You know, I haven't really given that a lot of thought. I think let's just be honest. Travel is a little slice of hell, no matter what you're doing, right. You know, where you're going, what you're doing. The travel days, I always dread them more than the work days because you're schlepping stuff around all over the place and it's getting to the airport, waiting at the airport, getting on a plane, flying somewhere, getting a rental car, driving to the location, checking into the hotel, blah, 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 blah. So that's not really fun anymore for me. Mm-hmm. So staying at home was kind of a relief in that regard. But it's the camaraderie of being on set with the cast and the crew that I missed. Mm-hmm. Their presence, the people that I work with are just such, they're such lovely people. And I missed being with them. And I got a taste of it when I went back for the one episode this upcoming season. And I didn't realize how much I really missed them. But it was challenging all the way around to just be at home and not be with them in person. I missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just wondering also, like, with your abilities, you know, I don't have those abilities. And so I just read what other people have written about those abilities. Uh-huh. Or hear what people describe on shows and podcasts. And so when you are getting ready to communicate, like with Amy and Adam, and they're at a place and they're asking for your help or for you to have a reading or something like that, how do you focus your energy from the Atlanta area to wherever they might be? Like, is it, do you latch on to them or you think about, like, what guides you, you know, like, how do you feel it? Do you see it? It's very interesting to me.
I think probably I'm attaching to their energy in some regards, but I'm also trying to tap into the energy of the location that they're at. That's really what I focus in on is if there's any energies or entities that are there that want to communicate with me or if there's anything that I should be picking up there, I ask my own spirit partners to kind of guide me in that direction. I have no clue how I do what I do. I don't know how it works. And you used an interesting word. You used the word, I believe, focus in on it. And it is for me all about focus and attention. And I'm very ADD. I'm like, oh, look, we're at a haunted location. Oh, look, a squirrel. And, you know, it's that kind of a thing. I'm easily distracted by whatever else is going on in my environment.
Yeah.
And I seem to notice a lot of things that are just, maybe other people wouldn't notice. Some of it intuitively, some of it just with my five human senses. But I turn myself, I flip the switch. I turn myself into psychic medium Chip Coffee mode and just go for it. There's no real jumping through hoops. It's just, all right, ready to work. Let's get down to business.
Sure. So you, over time though, learned how to, when you say flip the switch, that means you have some kind of control over it. So I'm sure like when you walk into Target or you go get gas at the gas station or something like that, you're not always feeling all this psychic energy all the time. You really have to kind of dial it in.
I absolutely am not psychic medium Chip Coffee 24/7. I tell people, you know, it's like a job. It is a job to a degree.
Yeah.
although I love what I do, I love being able to be of assistance to people and help others, but it's a job. Just like your job or anyone else's job, you don't want to work 24 hours a day. You want to have some time off, some me time. Mm-hmm. So I've asked my spirit partners to actually stand guard, stand sentinel around incoming information so that I'm not constantly bombarded. I don't want to be Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost. And as you said, I don't want to be in, you know, a grocery store or at Walmart and have spirits yakking in my ear saying, oh, there's my granddaughter. Say hello for me. And my response would be, say hello yourself. I'm off the clock. You know, not working. Sorry. Time out.
Yeah, I got you.
I've sort of been able to know when to flip the switch on and turn the switch off. And for me, pretty much, it's a matter of focus. Now, there's a codicil to that, and that is this. If there's information that is absolutely important for me to know that's going to prevent a situation that could turn negative, like an accident or an emergency or, God forbid, a death, or there's just vital information for me to know, then my spirit partners will send it through to me. And it's just like going on location for a filming or sitting down and talking to Amy and Adam or anyone else that I do any guest appearances on their shows at a distance, remotely, virtually. When I put myself in this position like we are right now, you know, I'm working. Right now, I'm not working as a psychic, but I'm at work to a degree.
Yeah.
So sure. I really have, for me, it's kind of like a mindset. It's plugging it into my brain that, okay, we're working now. This isn't just your time. This is a time that you're performing a duty or a task.
And when you say performing, that makes me think, I have a musical background and I've talked a lot. I talk a lot about it on the show, so I'm not going to bore my listeners again with another musical comparison, but it's like, I'm not thinking music and stuff all the time. I'm prepared to practice. I got my instrument ready, or I'm getting ready for a performance and then I'm in go mode.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm ready to perform. I'm ready to execute what I've been practicing, what I've been working on.
Well, it's like I have a background in television and film as an actor and on stage. It's kind of like, you know, if you're in the theater, somebody yelling places, you know, you get your act together and you get on stage and you do what you need to do.
Yeah.
So in a way, it is kind of like jumping through a hoop, but you do what you do.
I worked with musical theater for like 25 years. So I know what you're talking about. You're rolling your eyes, but I know what you're talking about.
I've played a lot of young male villains in musical theater. When dinosaurs were on the earth and I was a young man.
Sure.
I got cast kind of against type. I got cast as the villains. And I just kind of love that. And you can kind of chew the scenery and sink your teeth into those kind of roles.
Sure. It's like it's fun to have a little departure from the personality that God gave you then, I guess.
Well, you know, I'm not St. Chip of Georgia. Let's be really honest here.
Right.
You know, so I do have to say that I do blame any missteps or anything that I do that's kind of negative on my alternate personality, whose name is Evil Skip.
Oh.
So Evil Skip is the one who says some things that are just shocking or does something that's shocking. So I blame it on dissociative identity disorder and Evil Skip.
Evil Skip. I didn't know I was interviewing Evil Skip and St. Chip of Georgia here. That's great.
You never know what. Here's this one. You never know which one it is. You see, you never know.
You heard it here first on the Necronomicast, fans. That's great. Well, so you have these investigations and whether you're able to go to them or not, what are like on season, we want to talk about season six coming up. What are some of these hotspots that you were excited to be a part of?
I just did a little appearance probably an hour-ish ago. Mm-hmm. And Adam Berry was on that call also. And he mentioned the location of the the episode that I was live at this season. And it is in Wisconsin, and it is the Sheboygan Asylum.
Mm. Oh, wow.
A massive place. It was good that I could be there. They specifically wanted me there for that episode. And we got some incredible results while we were there. I remember there was a location that I was really hesitant to just dive in and go down this hallway. And I told Amy and Adam, I said, I don't want to go down there. I just don't want to go down there. And they asked me why. And I said, there's something very, very negative down this hallway. And they said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, it's really effed up. And I probably dropped the F-bomb, which I'm known to do. And as soon as we started talking about that, we had some crazy paranormal things happen. So watch out for that in the episode. When you watch it, there's some wild stuff that happens.
Incredible.
When we start talking about this one location down a hallway that I'm real hesitant to go down.
I will certainly focus on that for sure in season six. With season six now in the can, it's coming out. What are some, do you have any like bucket list places that let's just say you're able to travel just for the sake of argument, you're able to go out and enjoy life freely. What are like some bucket places? Like, man, I would love to tune in and let my spirit guards have the day off when I'm hanging out at this place.
I have some places just for Chip I would love to go, still on my bucket list. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the more well-known haunted destinations,
yeah,
I've been to most of them.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of them. So as far as that goes, there's nothing that I'm really jonesing to go see.
Sure.
Off the top of my head, I really can't think of anywhere I've... You know, Eureka Springs Hotel, is that the name of it in Arkansas? Is mm-hmm. that, am I saying that correct?
Yes.
I think that's, yeah, that's one place that's always kind of fascinated me. People ask me a lot if I've ever been to Bobby Mackey's, and I haven't. And I don't really have an urge to go there because, although I've done a lot of TV work and personal work that's included quote unquote demonic stuff, I don't go looking for it.
Yeah.
If it finds me, I have to deal with it, but I'm not going to look for it necessarily. So that place has a reputation of being kind of dark, and it's not on my bucket list. And I'm not dissing that location at all. Please don't think that.
No, I understand.
But if that's your thing, please go. But it just doesn't feel like it's my thing from what I've heard about it and seen of it.
When you're interacting with spirits or spirit, as I've heard it referred to, and always, I want you to always correct me if I'm, you know, wrong about things, but when you're kind of interacting or you're exercising your abilities, how do you know what is truth? You know, how do you have a spiritual bullshit detector? Or, you know, I mean, sometimes it's hard when two human beings are sitting across from each other to know what the other one's thinking or what their motivations are. When you're intercepting these communications, how do you know what to believe? Or is it just come from experience and just like when dealing with humans?
Well, there are tricksters that are out there in the spirit arena,
yeah,
both living and dead. Did you like that? That was pretty good that I sneaked that in there, wasn't it?
I like that.
And very rarely have I been fully tricked before I catch on. I've worked with my same spirit partners since that I know of. I met my spirit partners in 1984. So you do the math.
Yeah.
It's been a while. And I've trusted them to alert me if something is bullshit. If something that's coming through to me is not factual, if it's erroneous information or I'm getting it wrong, I trust that they're going to let me know that they're going to somehow intervene and go, wait a minute, hold on a minute. So it's a level of trust, I think, that the way that I'm tapping in is valid and accurate.
Yeah, like a gut instinct almost in a way.
Belief.
Yeah. Interesting.
Believing it and rarely seeing evidence that I've been hoodwinked.
Okay. You mentioned a couple times spirit guards, partners,
guides,
excuse me.
Yeah.
How, and you mentioned that you've been in relationship with them since 84.
Uh-huh.
How do you find them? How do they present themselves to you? How do you, you know what I mean? Like that seems so, I don't know what the revelation would be for that. You know, can you walk me down that road a little bit?
Rewind to 1984 in Anderson, South Carolina. My parents were living there and they were caring for my dog, Barney, was living with them. Oh. Barney was 3 years old and developed a bladder infection and they were keeping him overnight at the vet. And I went up to see him. We were hoping to bring him home that day. Hopefully he'd been given some IV antibiotics and whatever. And a friend of mine from here in Atlanta drove up with me to my parents' home. And we were going to go see Barney later that morning and hopefully, as I said, bring him home. And Rose and I drove up and got up the next morning when the phone rang. I woke up and it was the veterinary office calling me to tell me that Barney had died in his cage overnight.
Oh.
And we were all wrecked.
Yeah.
By this, a 3-year-old, relatively healthy dog that got a bladder infection and now he's dead. What the heck? So I was neck deep drowning in grief. And Rose is a very spiritual woman. I'm still in communication with Rose. And she said, let's find a place and go where we can be alone. And I want you to meet your angels. That's what she generically refers to as all spirit partners, spirit guides, angels, whatever. So we went to a park in Anderson, South Carolina, and there on that late spring day, she took me on a guided meditation and 7 entities, energies introduced themselves to me one by one. And they've hung out with me ever since. How do we meet our spirit partners? I don't know. I mean, sometimes guided meditation, sometimes they show up on their own. Sometimes you're told who they are and you can develop a dialogue with them. There's not one prescriptive method, but I was very fortunate that I had a good guide to sort of lead me in the right direction for meeting those folks.
Do you think the door was open through your grief, or did Rose find some kind of, or did she see something in you beforehand and she thought this was a good time?
Probably a little of both.
Yeah.
All mixed in together. I think that when we are at our most emotional, I know a lot of people who are very intense with their emotions tend to be the best psychics.
Wow.
And I'm certainly not sedate on any level.
Right. Right.
I've been told I needed to be sedated at times in my life, but, you know, I'm certainly not. Here's a story.
Yeah.
My mother told me as I was getting older, she said, when you were just a baby, I prayed to God that you would not be awkward, backward, and shy. And darling, I was overblessed. Thanks, Mom. So true story.
Bless her. That's great. I love that.
True story.
You know, I was reading through your website and it says that you were a firm believer in God and angels.
Yeah.
And concepts of the afterlife, you know, I mean, like when we pass, you might have some insight, or, you know, earlier you said you don't know how these things work. I mean, are you still kind of mystified to the mystery of God, or do you think some of that mystery is revealed to yourself because of your interaction with spirit? You know, I not that you've played golf with Jesus. I'm not asking that, but I mean, but have you, do you have like some kind of divine inspiration to all of this craziness of life?
I have beliefs like everybody else does, or lack thereof.
Yeah.
I don't have any true insights because I don't know that that's any of my freaking business. You know, till I get there, I don't know how much spirit is allowed to reveal about the place. Mm-hmm. You ask about God. I don't believe that we mere mortals can even begin to conceptualize God. I think that's too much for our limited brain power to be able to fathom or absorb. I see God as everything. God's everything. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in the traditional Judeo-Christian God. I don't believe in the Judeo-Christian concepts of heaven and hell. Mm-hmm. I call, you know, for lack of a better word, I'll use those terms occasionally. But most of the time I say the afterlife or the spirit world, spirit with a capital S. So I use those words more commonly than I use heaven. But people are familiar with the term heaven.
Yeah.
I don't really have a lot of information about that. I can tell you that I have my own personal beliefs. My belief in God is unwavering. You know, I pray numerous times a day. That's just me. And I don't try to convince or convert others to my ways of thinking. It's not my business to do so. I don't care what people believe in as long as they're good, honest, decent human beings. It's none of my business. Mm-hmm. It's nobody's business what somebody else believes. As long as you are doing no intentional harm to yourself or to others and striving to be happy in tandem, no intentional harm to yourself or to others and get happy in tandem, then it's nobody's business what you believe.
Yeah, I was struck by what you said about how we can't even begin to comprehend about the power of God. And I'm along the same thoughts is that, you know, people ask me and, you know, I go to church and I'm religious, I guess you could say, or, I mean, I believe in that. And people say, well, how can you do that and deal with a show about the paranormal and things like that?
All right. So I need to jump in and I apologize for interrupting you.
Oh, no, go right ahead.
That's just what I'm talking about mind your own friggin' business.
Right.
People, mind your own, stay in your own damned lane. You know, what I do, you know, why is that any of your business? My relationship with God is personal and profound.
Yeah.
How I perform, if I'm not doing you any harm, then shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Amen. I got that. And I understand when people ask me, like, they're curious because, you know, they're trying to see what's going on in my head, and that's fine. I'll entertain it for a little bit, but I also have an answer. It's just like, I just believe that all things are possible with God. You know, you want to talk about afterlife. You want to talk about this or that, or miracles. You want to talk about angels. You want to talk about, I just think it's anything. Our imaginations can't even come close to the imagination of anything like that.
People are so stuck in their own concept of religion. Mm-hmm. I am not religious at all. I don't like religion. I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. I love the Catholic faith. I abhor the Catholic religion. So religion is to, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And if you don't believe what I believe, then you're wrong. Faith is like, with God, all things are possible. You said that.
Yeah.
You know, why am I going to discount something? Why am I going to say, oh, no. You know, just go with the flow and don't have a stick up your ass.
That's right.
I've often been known to say that I think all religious books should be four words. Want to know what those words are?
I'm dying to hear.
Don't be a dick.
The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I love it, man. And I love the fact that we're getting a little personal on stuff here, but I think that's important because when you're talking about spirit, you're talking about the afterlife, you're talking about all these phenomenon, how could you not at least start to unravel a little bit about the mystery of God? And I don't want my listeners to be like, oh my God, you guys are really going down the God road. But we are talking about the afterlife. We are talking about you know, when you're communicating, like that's a huge form of prayer, is like silent thoughts in your head going out into the spirit world. I mean, that's what the hell it is.
And we're talking about a commonality between two guys that are chatting right now. Mm-hmm. You know, you admitted that you have religious or spiritual or faith-based beliefs.
Through my own personal experience, you know?
Same with me.
Yeah.
Same with me. We're not asking you guys to share that with us. You know, we're not asking you to do that at all. Believe what you want to believe as long as you're a decent human being and not an asshole. The reality of it is, you know, we're just chatting. We're talking about our own personal beliefs and what we think applies.
Sure. Sure. And one of the gifts of having a podcast and being able to communicate and people listen to the show or whatnot, it gives me the avenue to be able to talk to people that in ordinary life I wouldn't be able to talk to. When would I have the opportunity to talk to Chip Coffee with your experiences? With everything that you've amassed over time, with everything that you've done and all your, you know, you've talked to thousands of people, you've helped people, you've experienced these things, and you're so forthcoming with like your opinion, but also your experiences, and people can take information from that. What a gift, like having a podcast and being able to have these conversations is for real.
You know what? I don't have a clue as to how I do what I do.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue as to how anything works, pretty much. We don't know what we don't know. And so let's just try to be gentle with each other and try to be good souls. And I'm one of the easiest guys to get along with, for the most part, that you could ever hope to meet. I don't want to ever be known as a jerk. I don't ever want to be known as pretentious or overbearing. Yeah, I've got an ego. Everybody's got an ego. And we want things to pretty much go the way that we would like for them to go in most instances. But I'm flexible. With me, there's no hidden agenda. There's no ulterior motive. There's no reading between the lines. And if people walk up to me on the street or whatever, I'm going to be the same me that I've always been to my friends who've known me for 40, 50, 60 years. So you said you might not be talking to Chip Coffee. If we ran into each other, we probably would have a really nice conversation. And so many of my fans have become my friends. I can think of one lady who lives in the Chicagoland area. She started out as a fan. She became a friend. And now she's got a whole lot of real estate in my heart as part of my family, which is family with an R, friends who are family. So as you said, with God, all things are possible. I believe that possibilities are endless, and I'm not going to poo-poo anything. There's some things that Chip Coffee can't wrap his brain around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get
that. But there's some that I'm not going to say, call, you know, bullshit on that. I'm not going to just, you know, go down that road.
Right.
Not going to do.
And that's one thing I liked when I had the opportunity to meet Amy and Adam at the Strange Escapes, is that sometimes you go to things and there's a meet and greet and, you know, oh yeah, buy my book and sign it, blah, 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 blah. But what a great opportunity to sit down and actually talk and have a meal and shoot the shit and get to know people over like a 3-day weekend and experience them as human beings. And so I could tell just like this conversation with you, I could tell you're very genuine. You're not holding anything back. You're not like, you know, hey, being fake or trying to sell yourself. You're just Chip Coffee. And that's one reason I was like, I was so excited that I had the opportunity to book you on the show, is because to have a real conversation with somebody that, you know, like I said, has these experiences. It's great.
Here's the deal. I know my shit stinks.
Right.
You know, there are people that think theirs doesn't.
Yeah.
That would not be who I am. Yes, I like nice things. I like to be treated well. I like perks. Who doesn't?
Right.
But you know what? I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be the one that's always going to be a constant squeaky wheel pain in the ass. That's not going to be who I am. So I hear what you're saying. And if I don't treat my fans kindly and nicely and well and all that, pick a word, then I don't have a career.
Yeah, you won't have fans. You will not have fans.
You don't have fans. If you're a dick, you're not going to have fans.
Right.
You're not. You're going to be crucified all over the internet. Yeah. I mean, not that I haven't had been crucified in certain ways all over the internet anyway, but to most of those people that are out there, they're just loudmouths who have nothing better to do than type on a computer. And a lot of it is anger and jealousy, I think.
And yeah, inner rage and sadness and feelings of inadequacy and needing validation. And sure. I understand all that. Sure.
And a whole lot of mental health problems.
Yeah. I mean,
hello.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Anywho.
but I have to tell you, like, you know, congratulations on all that you've accomplished. And with this new season and continuing to find creative ways to deal with this situation, this COVID nightmare. I mean, you're still able to do what you have a passion for doing in a creative way.
I've been very lucky because I'm still getting a lot of private phone readings. I'm doing online group gallery readings a couple of times a month. You know, I'm really glad that I'm able to do those. And shameless plug, you know, go to my website and you can get information about it at chipcoffee.com. Mm-hmm. And the company that I do my online gallery readings with is guidancefromgratitude.com. I've been able to do TV shows, TV episodes at home. So, you know, I'm blessed. And honestly, my friend, I don't take that for granted. I don't, because it could be over within a minute.
No.
I don't ever just go, well, I deserve this. I'm not that self-entitled person that is going to think that I'm owed this. I've worked my butt off. I decided when I committed myself to being a full-time psychic and medium that I was going to be hardworking and ambitious and take advantage of good opportunities. And since I'm my own boss, I had to stick with that.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this professionally for over 20 years, and I'm still living indoors and eating. So I think that's a good sign.
That's a great sign. And the quality of your work too. I mean, sometimes you watch a paranormal show or read a paranormal book and you're like, whew, boy, you know, oh my God. You know, and I won't have programs or people on my show, or I won't spend the time reading or watching something that I don't, you know, why would I want to talk to somebody that I disagree with what they're doing, or I think they're a charlatan, or I think, you know what I mean? I'm not going to waste my own time with that, you know?
So you're
involved with projects that have quality that stand, you know, that kind of test.
And that's just exactly the way I feel. Also, I'm really picky about who I want to associate with. Mm-hmm. And that's not being, you know, exclusionary. That's me just saying, you know, I have to do what I feel is in my best interest, what's best for Chip Coffee as a person, what's best for Chip Coffee as a psychic and medium and my brand, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to associate myself with anything that's going to harm me or harm anybody else. So I fully understand what you're saying, 100%. It's called ethics. It's called integrity. It's called honesty. It's called, let's invent a word, lack of bullshit.
Yeah. Cause you know, I mean, that's there's a lot to wade through, in the paranormal world. You need
hip waders.
Yeah. You know, everybody seems to have, an angle or something like that. And yeah. What I like about you guys is the fact that you're first and foremost on your show, you're trying to help people, and people come to
100%.
You, and people come to you and they submit their stories to the producers, or I don't know how they submit their stories,
right.
or
you're right.
And you guys wade through them and you pick something not only that's going to make, I mean, yeah, you got to make something that makes interesting television, but at the same time, yeah. You know, there's people that you are helping. I mean, they're not paid actors or anything. I mean, these are honest people that are reaching out because they're at their last wit, you know, they're at their last rope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're absolutely correct. They've contacted us because they're like, we're scared, we're confused, we're upset, we're whatever. You know, there's something that's going on that they just can't explain. And that's the way I define paranormal, by the way. Let's pull that out of the woo-woo for a minute.
Okay.
I define paranormal as can't understand it, can't explain it, but can't deny it. That's all it is. Let's just pull it way back. Pull back on the throttle. Something's happened that you just can't pragmatically explain. You can't explain it away. So that's the people that come to us. Those are the people that come to us for kindred spirits. And to me a lot, mm-hmm. as just an individual, psychic and a medium. People come to me because they're seeking comfort and healing and clarity. And in my mission statement as a business, those are very big buzzwords for me, comfort, healing, and clarity. And that's what I hope to provide for my clients who seek me out for providing those things.
Very well put. Very well put. And I really appreciate that. And I hope everybody out there appreciates that too, because that's not the case with everybody out there. So Chip, what a great opportunity to have you on the show. And as I look at the clock and I know, you know, time's winding down, I just want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank you for your great communication, your honesty. I just can't thank you enough. I got more out of this conversation. I knew it was going to be a good conversation. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that we shared ideas and we shared thoughts and really communicated. And it wasn't just question, 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 answer, answer, answer. Thank you very much. You know, just
what? All right. So I'm going to challenge you for a minute.
Let's do it.
What do you want to ask me as a psychic and a medium?
Oh, you mean about me personally or?
Yeah. Duh.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm game for that. I don't know. Sometimes I'm pulled in different directions, not like between good and evil, but I mean, I feel like maybe sometimes I'm listening to, if you want to call it like the voice of God or, you know, like, or your inner voice or something. And I don't know if you sense or however you do it, if you feel like I have guides or people that are trying to pump the brakes in one direction or push me along in another direction, you know?
Who's George?
I don't have a George, I don't think.
Oh, well, you do now.
All right.
So here's the deal. If George is not kind of someone that immediately rings a bell in your head, then George is one of two things, I believe.
Okay.
It's either a spirit partner who has just come through and identified him or herself. George seems male to me.
Okay.
The other thing is, and no harm, no foul, if it's one or the other, why not just look out for both? George may be somebody who is forthcoming in your life that spirit is telling you to be on the lookout for someone named George. And like a dog, if you hear of someone named George or that person pops up, let your ears perk up.
Yeah.
And go, whoa, I want to hear about this. Who is George? But here's what I would suggest that you do.
Please.
Just in those moments of quiet reflection or meditation, however you seek to connect, just say, is there somebody trying to communicate with me or in my spirit family whose name is George? Did Chip give me the right name? And I can see you right now because we're on a Zoom and we've got video also, although this is only audio for your listeners. Mm-hmm. You closed your eyes. Did that name feel resonant at all to you, Brian?
You know, I need to look it up. Do I give you the answer or no? Do I tell you?
Well, I don't read mine, so yeah, go ahead.
All right. I need to look and this is going to bother me. I need to look it up, but I mean, it's going to take like ancestry. Both my parents have passed, but my father, who is much older than traditional dads. My dad was 70 when I was born.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. We should talk sometime. Anyway, he had a brother that died. So I'm talking like my dad was born 1904, you know, and I'm 46. So 1904, my dad was born. His brother that died was either George or Herbert. And I don't know. You know, I'm not committing either way. I need to look because I've heard these names, but they're so far in the distant past, but still like close relatives, but so weird because of the time difference of, you know, when my parents had me. So I need to look into that. So that's why I'm like, I'm trying to think about what my mom and dad had told me when I was younger. So I don't know, but it could be a future fellow, or George could be, I don't know. And that's honest to God. I'm not making something up for the show.
Just if you find out, let me know. And, you know, it could be, like I said, it could be somebody who is trying to identify themselves from your family or friends who have passed. It could be a spirit partner, which typically your spirit partners are not anyone that you've known in this incarnation, in this lifetime. So grandma probably isn't going to die and become your spirit partner. Grandma also isn't going to die and become an angel, but that's another whole story that we could go into at another time. Angels are totally different forms of being. They're not humans that die. Grandma's not going to die and become your guardian angel. Wrong. Anywho, figure out if you can who George is. You know, what does it hurt to just, like I said, in a quiet moment, like when you're getting ready to nap or go to sleep or just sitting quietly, just go, George, who are you? You know, that crazy chip coffee gave me the name George. Are you somebody that I'm supposed to know in spirit? Mm-hmm. Who are you? And see if you can open up a dialogue.
Chip, I really appreciate that. And you give me a lot to think about, and I will. And if something reveals itself a year from now, 2 years from now, 2 minutes from now, I'll certainly reach out and let you know. And, you know, we'll play with it from there. So,
well, you've given me permission to read for you. And I just want you to know that you've got six entities working with you in spirit.
Interesting. Wow. Six.
Six.
Mm-hmm. Six, like all the time, or do they like two by two or three? You know, I got.
You've got six on board right now, and you want a message that I'm supposed to give you?
Yes.
When are you going to get busy writing?
Oh my God, are you serious?
No, of course I am. You know, they're kind of telling me you need to get up off your ass.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that for sure. Because
message received.
Message received.
Have you been bitching about the fact that you want a new computer?
You know what? I did for quite a while.
Did you get one?
I did.
Okay, they're saying maybe that was just to say now that you've got a new computer, you don't have really any excuse.
I got the computer to help with the audio production of the podcast and also to help with my like family. Movies and things like consult, like a Mac is much better, but not a commercial for Macintosh, but I recently did do that. And if you look on down at the bottom of my menu bar, there's Pages and it's open. And yeah, I do write, but it's not in any kind of, in a way that's consolidated. It's ramblings and kind of mishmash kind of, I'm looking for inspiration. And you know, Richard Estep, the writer, paranormal writer. Yeah. I've talked to him a couple times in person, quite a few times because he's a prolific writer. And so he's kind of given me a lot of tips and tricks and encouragement and a little bit of get off your ass too. Like, why are you not writing? And I mean, like, that's come up.
That's exactly what I heard.
Good God. I love it. Thank you so much. No, thank you. Thank you for that.
I'm just the messenger. Just the messenger. They're just encouraging you.
Well, I'll take that. I'll take all the encouragement I can get, my man. Chip, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. It's my very, very best to you in the future. I hope you guys go 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons of this show, and I'll watch every one.
Oh, God. They'll have to wheel me in on a gurney, you know?
All right, Chip.
I said, I'm getting old, but I thank you for that. I appreciate that. Happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much, Chip. And thank you for being part of the Necronomicon.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
There he is, everybody. Chip Coffee. So happy I could bring that conversation to you. And thank you, Chip. So I went through my family tree after recording that album and did the little ancestry work, and I found out that there was a hit on that Georgie. I also found out that I had a brother that I never knew I had, who died after childbirth, but my parents never mentioned it to me. Very strange. Very strange. Anyway, that's how life goes. You never know what's going to be revealed when you listen to and follow the Necronomicast, which, you know, you can leave ratings on Spotify now. So please, after listening to this show, go to Spotify, go to Apple Podcast, leave a review, leave a rating. Hugs and kisses forever from me if you do so. Next up on the Necronomicast, episode 218, the return of the great Steve Shippey. Steve's going to be talking to us about his brand new documentary, his brand new special, Scream, The True Story. Hope you heard the commercial at the beginning of the program for the historic Haunted Heartland, kicking off in Omaha on Saturday, October 8th, 2022. With John E. L. Tenney, Johnny Hauser, Jamie Nestrel, and myself in the beautiful Benson Theater. Make plans now. Tickets go on sale this summer. Whew, that's a lot of information for you folks. Thanks for listening. I see the sun coming up over the horizon. It's time to get some sleep.